Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Amen. Go ask our deacons if they would come and remind you that we are in the recruitment phase of Focus 2006. It is during these months of January through March that we are asking you and expecting you to commit to one of the ministries that we have available through Focus 2006. And the question that you have seen before you has been, where will you serve? But that's really not the primary question. That's an important question. Where do you want to serve? What are you interested in? What area are you interested in serving? Those are important questions, but that's not the primary question. And today we're going to consider the primary question. And that is, where does your Lord Jesus want you to serve? That is the primary question. Where does He, your Lord, want you to serve? Today, as you can tell, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. And our emphasis this morning is going to be on the Lord's Supper. And we're going to be considering the Lordship of Jesus in your life and what that Lordship has to say about your service in Focus 2006. The Scripture is abundantly clear that Jesus is Lord and He is to be recognized as Lord in your life. Over in Acts chapter 2, in the first Christian sermon preached by Peter, he makes it clear that Christ Jesus has the position of Lord. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And again, writing to the church of Rome, Paul makes it clear that Jesus is Lord. Whether you recognize it or not in your life doesn't change the fact that He is Lord. But you and I need to recognize His Lordship in our lives. Paul in Romans 14:7 says, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord. For if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the living, both of the dead and the living. Jesus is Lord. And we're going to reflect this morning on His Lordship in your life. Or have you totally surrendered all that you are and all that you have to the Lord Jesus? Is He truly recognized by you as the King, the boss, the ruler of your life in every area of your life? Now take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 6, a passage that deals with the Lordship of Christ. Now, upon initially reading this passage, you may not conclude that it has to do with Lordship, but it does. In fact, the only way to correctly understand this passage is to understand it in terms of Lordship. And as we're considering, where does your Lord Jesus want you to serve? Over in John chapter 6, we are beginning in verse 47. This passage took place around the time of the Passover. And that is important in our understanding of what Jesus is saying. You remember the Lord's Supper took place some year or two later around the time of the Passover. You remember the Passover celebrated God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt when they put the blood over the doorpost and the death angel passed over the firstborn. And they did not die. And so the Passover celebration has to do with God's deliverance, of God's salvation, and it has to do with the unleavened bread that they were to eat as a part of this. And as they went out into the wilderness, you remember God provided bread from heaven, the manna. And Jesus is picking up on this historical event as he teaches this lesson. And respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as I begin to read in verse 47, John 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. You may be seated. Now, as we're talking about recruitment 2006, we are asking you to commit yourself to one of the four ministries. And the question is, which one of these ministries does the Lord want you to be involved in? Now, let me just give you a quick overview in case you are not here and you've been somewhere in a cave and have missed the focus of 2006. But basically, the North American Mission Board and the demographic studies that we've had done have estimated that there are within a 3-mile radius of this church, of Westside, 3-mile radius, 36,000 unbelievers. In other words, if the terrorists detonated a suitcase nuclear bomb and Westside was ground zero this afternoon, 36,000 people would go to a crisis eternity within a 3-mile radius of this church. Our mission is cut out for us. Our focus, we're going to home in, we're going to be like a laser, and our focus is going to be on 160 young parents and 120 children in a 3-mile radius of our community. We're going to target our resources, our energies, to reach these people with the love of God for His kingdom. Now we're going to do this by focusing four primary areas. And these areas are where we're asking you to be involved in at least one of these. First, there's prayer. That is by far the beginning. You can do no more than pray until you've prayed. And so we have mobilized a prayer team. Marshall Thurman is the captain of that team. He's had a number of you who've committed, about 15 or 16 have committed already to join his team, but they are undergirding everything we're doing in prayer. They're undergirding this recruitment phase in prayer. They're undergirding the Faith Quest Children's Ministry in prayer. They're undergirding the upward recruitment and the upward program in prayer. They are praying for our community and our neighborhood already. These people will be praying by name for those who will come, those 160 young parents and 120 kids. They'll be praying by name for these. They will be doing different prayer initiatives, things like prayer walking through the community or mobilizing prayer teams during the week who will be praying. Couples praying, families praying. Marshall's team has a lot of ideas that they're going to be implementing. But if you have a heart for prayer and you believe in the power of prayer and your heart is burdened to see God save this community, then this may be a place where the Lord wants you to serve in the prayer ministry. But in addition to that, we have a young parents class. We're going to be bringing in young parents through this Upward Soccer program, and we want to reach them for the love of Christ. And we found the best way is to have young parents reaching young parents. And so we are implementing and organizing a young parents class, and these young parents will come alongside these young parents in our community, and they'll build relationships with them. They'll have them over to their homes. They'll go out to eat with them. They will go and visit in their homes, and they will seek to show them the love of Christ. And by showing them the love of Christ, we trust that they will be able to bring and lead them to the Savior and bring them in the kingdom of God. And so we're asking our young parents to commit themselves and be involved in this. And this will be a labor-intensive thing. We're asking our young parents when the Upward Soccer has their practices, and they practice one night a week, that we're going to expect our young parents to come and be here and to meet the parents, meet the mothers who are here bringing their kids to practice. If our young parents are coaching teams, we're asking them to take that team and the parents of that team as their particular target group, to build relationships with those parents and those kids and seek to show them the love of Christ. And so this is going to be a very involved avenue. And it's so much involved that the young parents are going to have to concentrate on this and maybe coaching a team to break into that avenue and relationship. But also we have the children's ministry as it started today with Faith Quest, a great new approach that we think will be attractive to our children in the community, and at the same time will teach them biblical truth that they need in a way that they're used to learning, that's geared toward the children of our day, and will be effective. So that has started today. We need people who are involved in that. We need people involved in nurseries. As these young couples come and bring their children, we need them to feel like their kids are safe. We need them to feel like their kids are cared for. That people who are working in the nursery in the children's area love their kids. And they want to bring their kids because they believe that we love them and there's a nice, clean, safe environment for them to be in. And so we're making plans to do upgrades, and we're starting, we're going to be doing a beeper system to help increase the security in all of our children's ministry, because that's something that we all know each other, but the people who are coming in as strangers who don't know us, they want to feel like there's good security in place, that their kids are safe. And so we're doing things to improve the security and make the young parents feel safe, that they know they can be contacted if their kids are needed. And we're getting a beeper system set up where we'll give a beeper to each of the parents that drops off a kid. And we can call a number and that beeper will vibrate, even have some messages on it. And that parent will know they can be reached at any moment. We even have a message that says, baby's doing fine. So if they leave them in there crying, and the baby quits crying, you know, and still the parent thinking, I wonder how they're doing, I wonder how they're doing. And thinking about that all the time, we can call a number and it will send a message to that beeper that says, baby is doing fine. Baby is laughing, something like that. And you know, we're taking steps to help these young parents feel comfortable and want to come and know that their kids are getting some quality stuff. So, but we need people volunteering in these areas. Does the Lord want you to serve there? And then we have the Upward Soccer Ministry, which is kind of the foundation, because this is our key to reaching and getting these young parents and young children to our church. This is how we're going to get them to come to us. So they'll be on our campus, and then we can build the relationships with them and get to know who they are. And with the Upward Soccer Program, we're organizing it. We're going to have three leagues, a 4- and 5-year-old league, a 5- and 6-year-old league. No, excuse me, 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9. And we plan to have 16 teams, and that should equal about 120 kids and 160 parents. But we need coaches. You have a list in your bulletin today of different areas of ministry in the Upward, from concession stand coordinator to working in the concession stands to working in the grounds. We got to keep the fields up, keep the grass cut, keep it looking nice, to coaching, to being assistant coaches. There are many, many opportunities, a place for everyone to be involved, and everyone needs to be involved. The question is, where does the Lord Jesus, your Lord, want you to be involved in this Focus 2006? At least one of these four areas: prayer, young parents class, children's ministry, or Upward. Maybe more than one. I think we all can pray. And maybe He wants you to pray and do something in addition to that. But that's the question before us this morning as we partake and consider the Lordship of Christ. Where does the Lord Jesus, your Lord Jesus, want you to serve. I think we've got something for people of most all ages here. I think even our older children can be involved in some capacity. We need referees, we need ball boys, ball girls. I mean, there are things that everybody can be involved in. And particularly the younger kids with their parent supervision can be involved in something in the concessions. Be involved in reaching our community for the gospel of Christ. So as we partake of the Lord's table, we're going to talk about lordship. And you'd be saying, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to serve? The first element in the Lord's table is the bread. Now, Jesus talked in our passage in John 6 about the bread being His body. And He talked about eating His flesh. Now, He wasn't talking about cannibalism, though some have misunderstood that. In fact, the early church was accused of being cannibals because of this very passage in the thoughts of the bread representing the body of Christ. But what did He mean by that? In our passage in John 6, Jesus said that the bread equates to His flesh in verse 53. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves." Now, what did He mean by "unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man"? All right, it's important that we understand what He meant by flesh. Now, He was not talking about the flesh that you have over your bones. If that were the case, He'd be talking about cannibalism, wouldn't He? And we know that He was not talking about that. Well, then what was He talking about, His flesh? I think He was talking about His humanity. The humiliation that He experienced when He left the glories of heaven and took on flesh. As John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God took on humanity with all of its struggles and its weaknesses. Jesus humbled Himself. Jesus emptied Himself of many of His divine prerogatives. Though He was always God, He emptied Himself of His omnipresence to be everywhere at one time. He was localized when He was in His body. Also, I think He's talking about His self-emptying and His submission to God the Father. You remember what Jesus said in John 5? He said, "I do nothing of my own initiative, but only as I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying and do what the Father tells me to do." It was His death to the self-life. You see, the cross was the outward expression of the inward obedience and surrender of Jesus to the will of the Father. Jesus surrendered to the lordship of the Father in His life. He did only as the Father wanted Him to do. So I think when He says, "unless you eat my flesh," He's saying, unless you participate in dying to yourself, unless you participate in the same death to self that I have experienced and am doing, unless you experience the same surrender of what you are to me as I surrender to my Father, then you have no life in you. Because when we eat something, it becomes a part of us. We assimilate. And I think what Jesus is saying is, unless you assimilate, unless you experience that death to your self-life, you will never know eternal life. Over in John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus picks up on the same thought when He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life." What's He saying? He's saying you take a simple grain of wheat. As long as that grain stays on the shelf, it will be no more than a grain of wheat. It'll be nothing more. It won't produce any more. It'll be all by itself. But take that same grain, plant it in the ground, and a process of decay takes place as it germinates. And then what happens is a stalk grows up, and then you have many grains of wheat coming from that one. It's a principle of death first and then resurrection. First it's got to be death and then resurrection, then life. Jesus said the principle is we die to self and then God blesses and multiplies. He says if you're going to have eternal life, then you've got to hate your life. You've got to let go of it. You've got to surrender your life to the life giver. Surrender your all to Him and then He imparts to you eternal life. So today when we partake of this little piece of unleavened bread, when you partake of this, you are saying, I am partaking of the dying to myself life, the humanity that Christ partook of, His willingness to surrender His all to the Father. When I partake of this, I am joining Him in total surrender of myself to God and to my Lord Jesus. That's what we're seeing. Now let's have a time of examination before we partake. Let's spend some time in prayer. As you're anticipating partaking of this bread, symbolizing the submission of Jesus to the Father, His willingness to die that we might live, His emptying of Himself and living for the Father, are you willing to empty yourself and live for the Lord Jesus? Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Any sinful habit or relationship that you're harboring and holding on to or simple activity? Then you need to bring that before your Father and you need to confess it to Him. And you need to turn away from it by His grace. Are you holding a grudge, an unforgiving spirit towards someone? Then you need to lay that before the Lord or either not partake of this Lord's table. You need to surrender that area of your life to the Lordship of Jesus, asking Him to take away that bitterness. You making a choice to forgive that person by God's grace. Amen. So as you partake of this bread, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I join You in dying to my self life. I partake of Your death to Your self life that I might surrender to You as Lord in my life. And recognize Your Lordship over every area of my life. Are you willing to make that commitment today? If you are, then let it be known by taking this bread that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus, His obedience to the Father. Jesus took the bread and He broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat." Next element in the Lord's Supper is the fruit of the vine, which is symbolic of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Jesus not only said, "Must you eat my flesh," but He said, "You must drink my blood." What did Jesus mean when He said, "Unless you drink my blood"? Again, He did not mean literally His blood, which would be cannibalism. But what does the blood represent? Scripture says there is life in the blood. And so the blood represents the life of the Lord Jesus. When He shed His blood, He poured out His life for us. Therefore, we must receive His life into ourselves. That's what He's saying. Unless you drink my blood, unless you receive my life unto yourself, you will not have eternal life. And so we must receive through the Spirit of God, we must receive the life of Christ into ourselves. You see, with the pouring out of the blood came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was necessary that He must die and go to heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And so the blood represents the spiritual life, the power for me to live the crucified life. You see, it is through the blood that we have the power to live the Lordship of Christ in our lives. As much as you and I might want the Lordship of Christ, we don't have the strength in ourselves to bring it about. We do not have the strength to surrender every area of our lives to Him, to walk in obedience to Him in every area. We can't do it. But the great thing about it is He never asks us to do it by ourselves. And that's where the blood comes in. We surrender to His Lordship, and then we receive His life into us to enable us to live under His Lordship, to enable us to serve Him. The power to serve Christ is through His life in us. Christ's life is our hope of victory. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20 about this very subject. When he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives, where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Paul says, in some way he was with Christ on that cross. In some spiritual way he was there. And he says, yet I continue to live, but yet I'm not really the one who's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I'm living now in this body, I live by His faith, His power, His life in me. That's what Jesus said in John 15 about abiding in the vine. He says, you know, abide in me and I in you, and he who abides in me shall bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It is the life of Christ in us that is the key to serving Him, to walking under His Lordship. And so when we partake of the juice today, symbolic of the blood of Christ, which is symbolic of the life of Christ, what you're saying is, by partaking of this cup, I am trusting the life of Jesus through His Spirit to work in me, to enable me to serve, to empower me to serve, to empower me to walk under His Lordship. I'm confessing my dependence upon Him. I know it's not something I can do in my own strength, but I am gladly, joyfully receiving the life of Christ in me. That's the symbolism here. You're drinking His life. You're saying, I acknowledge my need and I trust in the life of Christ in me to empower, to enable. That's what you're saying when you partake of this cup this morning. Jesus took the cup and He said, this is my blood which is poured out for the remission of sins. Take and drink. That brings us back to the beginning question. Where does your Lord Jesus want you to serve? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray You would reveal to us clearly where You would want each of us to serve You in reaching our community with Your love. To see boys and girls and men and women brought into Your kingdom, that they may experience that salvation that we've experienced.